This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 25, Social Reciprocity.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin. I'm coming to you from Hungary today, where it's getting late in the afternoon, and because of the time zones and everything like that, it's actually getting dark here in Hungary. And I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Michael Rowe. How is it in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area today?
It's getting dark, actually. It's a very cloudy day. The temperature is 68 degrees outside, and the wind's coming out of the northeast at 5 miles an hour. No, just kidding. Doing my natural radio voice using the weather forecast, which is at the top and the bottom of the hour here on WGamesAtWork.biz. Good afternoon, Michael. I hope you're having lots of fun. I know we've been having lots of fun just trying to get this recording going today with all the interruptions, and it's been just an amazing week. I know this is off topic, but it's been an amazing week with various announcements of new toys this week. And I don't know if you followed me yesterday. I was watching the Windows Surface RT demo live stream out of New York. And, you know, I'm an iPad person. I like my iPad. I like my iPad a lot. And I must say that I think the Surface RT looks really cool. I think they did a great job of doing their presentation. And a really good job of you know, they were handing them out to audience members as they were demonstrating each new feature. They'd kind of walk up to someone and go, "You look like you want to learn more about video. Here, take this. You can keep it."
Did they run from the room? What?
You can keep it. And then they would, you know, some of them, when they were doing audio stuff, they'd hand them a set of earbuds. The one thing I noticed, though, they didn't give anybody the keyboard.
And they didn't do a look under your chair trick, did they?
Well, they didn't in the time that I watched, but I wouldn't mind having one to play with. And you know, the entry level one is $499 with 32 gigs of RAM.
That's pretty good. How big's the screen?
10.6 inches in a 16:9 format.
Very cool. And it comes with a Wi-Fi as a standard, right?
Wi-Fi standard. Yeah. Now, the thing is, the $499 one, none of them come with the keyboard. You have to buy that as an add-on, and that knocks another $120 onto the price.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's the gotcha.
Do you need the keyboard?
I never saw in their demonstrations a on-screen keyboard, but I know they have to have one. But a lot of the value and the fact that it has the little kickstand, right, that Apple purposely decided not to do in their iPad designs. I mean, during the Samsung trial, there was, documents leaked saying they actually had a version early on with a kickstand. Mm-hmm. But the kickstand, one of the things that was really cool about the layout and the design is because of the way the keyboard works and the kickstand works, when you put it up on a kickstand, the back-facing camera appears to be, I don't know if it reorientates itself or if it's just oriented that way to do, I think they called it show me. And so if you and I are doing a Skype video chat using this, right. I could say, well, let me show you something. And turn on the back camera, and it would be just like you're sitting where I am looking out. So instead of, you know, the tilt of the kickstand tilting down and showing you the floor or the desk in front of me, it would actually show you the as if you're sitting right where my eyes are looking forward, which was pretty cool. So that, you know, there were a lot of little nice touches like that. The other thing that sounded nice was the build quality sounded nice, and they supposedly last night at midnight were opening up a Microsoft store at South Point Mall near the house.
Oh yeah, the pop-up stores, right.
So I'm going to go see if I have a chance sometime today to zip over there just to see if they have them and get my fingers on them.
That would be cool. Yeah, I'm looking at the website from the your post from earlier, so I'm checking it out right here. Yeah, so 32 gigs with a cover. The cover is where the keyboard's built in too, right? That's an extra $100 for that?
Yep.
And it's $200 for the 64 and cover as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, so price points are kind of where they are.
Yeah. And if you think about, you know, like the iPad or the Android ones, it's about $100 each bump up of memory, but they start at, you know, 16, 32, 64. And the Surface, I think, was 32 starting point. Did I say 16 earlier? I think it's 32 starting point. So, you know.
Yeah, it's 32, right, yeah. But you can add memory to it via a slot, right? They have a micro SD slot, as they say.
Well, you're adding storage. You're not actually run memory, right?
Okay.
The other nice thing, though, is it includes Office in that price. So.
Not a subscription, right? But a full-fledged Office that's
It wasn't clear. they said includes Office. And I assume it's using some of the cloud-based features with SkyDrive to store the content.
Well, it says Home Office and Student 2013 RT Preview.
Yeah, it says that there in the presentation.
They said later free download.
Yeah, they said includes Office. Again, I don't know what that means. So pretty cool, nice, exciting announcement from Microsoft. You know, having a third viable mobile platform is good, right? Sounds cool. I did a quick post last night over at Triangle App Show about that. People should go check that out, and I'll continue my week of announcements set of blog posts over there at TriangleAppShow.com.
That's exactly where I saw it, actually. So there you are. Ah, very, very nice. This should be exciting.
Yeah. So you had a really cool link that you pinged me right before the show began, and I've taken a little bit of time to look at it. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so the danger here is we're going to have to play a little bit of the where's the game in it. So maybe we should start with that.
This show is going to be can you figure out the angle that's game related today? Yes.
I think at the very least it's fun. So the link that I sent on was datavisualization.ch, and the particular page was their selection page of a variety of tools, a whole range of tools, things that you could use to visualize data. And I was pretty excited about it. I mean, there's all kinds of map related data. There's data that will allow you to do chromatography, graduated colors to explain information.
Well, the MISO data set looks a lot like the new Microsoft interface.
Yeah, the MISO data set is very much like the Metro interface.
Nope. They don't call it Metro. It's no longer Metro. It hasn't been Metro in a long time. There was actually a dispute with a partner about that. I was reading about that recently. It is the Windows 8 look.
It's the Windows 8 metaphor. Okay,
got it. So MISO dataset looks like Windows 8.
Yes.
Dun-dun-dun.
So anyway, I like this because this was a great place to say, okay, I'm trying to explain some data and I'm stuck in how to articulate it. Sometimes you might have, three or more dimensions of data that you need to show. And you think to yourself, well, how can I show this in a way that's easily understandable, highly consumable, and gets the point across without distracting with, oh, isn't this a cool way to show data?
Ooh, you know what's really cool about the way they're showing the data of this data show? If you click on them, they flip over, and every one of them so far looks like they've got a Git repository link.
Yeah, not all of them. The Circus one, as an example, is a desktop application.
Oh, okay. Well, all the ones that I clicked on looked like they had that.
Oh, and they stay flipped over as you like them. So the data.js is a GitHub repository. Digraphia does not. It's Flash.
You know, so yeah, I didn't like that one.
And I guess this is great. You could play like memory with them. It's like, okay, now I've flipped them back over.
Sorry. Didn't mean to distract you.
Being the security-minded guys that you and I are these days.
Oh, yeah.
One interesting angle on all of these data tools, which, again, I love these data tools, but you think about it, is when you pump data into them to visualize the data in said data visualization method, where's that data really going?
Well, that's why I like the ones with the Git repositories where you can just pull the source code down yourself and use it.
And you can keep it on your machine.
Yes.
Doesn't go anywhere else. But a Flash one, for example.
You have no idea what's going on there.
Yep.
Well, speaking of malicious, crazy. No, I won't say malicious. I won't say crazy. Speaking of data. This morning, as I was getting ready to look at our Facebook site for gamesatwork.biz over at facebook.com/gamesatworkbiz, and I logged into Facebook, it had somehow discovered my cell phone number, which I do not want them to have.
So how do you suppose that was discoverable?
I think it was connected up to, say, maybe a mobile device that I use sometimes to access Facebook from. And if you're using, and if you remember, and I know we're rat-holing a lot this show, but I don't care today. Sometimes you just have to rat-hole. If you remember, this summer, I think it was in July, early August, there was a big announcement that Facebook had stopped using their HTML5 apps on devices and had gone to native code. So why would you do that? Because with native code, you have more access to data on the device. And probably that includes the phone number. So I'm thinking that's how it was attached there. So since I don't want them to have my mobile cell number, my mobile number, I had to go in and remove that from the account and lock the data down again.
So interesting. So where did it discover? I've logged into Facebook just to check this out. So
right when I logged in, it said, "Hey, on your timeline, we've discovered your mobile number. We'd like to include it." Right at the top of the page.
Interesting. Well, it hasn't said that to me here on ZVib.
Yeah, because I did it on the web, right, to log in this morning.
Yep.
But right on the main, my news feed, the very top, it had a call out saying, "Hey, we've discovered this. And we would like to share it. And I would not like you to share it. And I don't want you to discover it. Delete."
Yeah, so I'm checking here. Yeah, add mobile phone. No, I haven't added mobile phone. And screen name, address, nope. Favorite quotations, nope. Nope. Okay, cool. And it still has me as living and current city.
Still has you as living. That's good.
I guess I need to change my current city, don't I?
Do you?
I will do that live.
Do you need to do that? Do you want to do that? Do you want them to know where you are?
Do I? Well, they can figure that out already from my IP addresses.
So there we go. That's true. There we go.
Now showing in Budapest.
Yep, because I also don't include my city. I don't tell them that much about me. They can figure most of it out anyway. So why make it easy?
I guess so. So speaking of fun games, I was watching the Bean Traders Twitter feed the other day here, and I saw just an amazing, amazing coffee concoction.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if Dave, our master barista, was the guy who did that.
Ooh, which one? Do you have a link for that one?
I do, in fact. Because
I'd like to put it in the show notes.
Let me give you said link for said show notes. Because I think you will like it. This one.
Ooh, it's a tweeter note. Oh, interesting. So the newest. So I upgraded to Skype 6 Yes. Which came out this week.
And is it better?
Well, it's more Mountain Lion friendly. And when you pinged that to me, since Skype wasn't up front, it actually showed up in the notification center. Ooh, that looks good.
Doesn't that look good?
I have no idea what it is, but it looks good.
It does.
It's like some white stuff at the bottom and some orange stuff in the middle and then like some coffee stuff and some espresso on top. I must know what this is. Well, David, you have to tell us.
Ask Mr. Dave, you know, send ask him the question. My response on Twitter to that was, I will take two.
I wonder if he delivers.
Please deliver.
Oh, man.
I guess our other game was, you know, playing a game with information.
Well, yeah. So that was
trying to tell stories.
Yeah, and the story that I find that's really interesting. Have you been getting a lot of emails lately from LinkedIn?
Some, not a ton, but some.
I've getting two or three a day, and they're from people who are in my LinkedIn network who are tagging me with skill sets and expertise. Oh.
Yes, yes. Actually, I've seen that too. And that definitely is a game because, yes, it is. You know, people are – it's easy to do, right? If you're looking at somebody on LinkedIn, they say, I know that person. And yes, they have that skill and I'll just click on it. Boom.
Yes. Done. Now, the interesting thing – I don't know if you've noticed this about that feature, but I have and it's kind of cool – is based off of that, about once a week, I actually get a email that's saying, here's some jobs in your area – that are looking for skills that you appear to have.
Ooh.
Ooh. Interesting. Yes. Yes. So, you know, but one of
tags are important and social tags have weight,
yep,
and gravitas,
yep,
that individual tags perhaps do not.
Exactly. So if you just put on your resume, hey, I'm a +3 Vorpal Blade of Slaying, and nobody validates that, it could just be words on a text resume. But if people who know you, who have worked with you, who are in your larger social network, start tagging you as a +3 Vorpal Blade of Slaying, you now start having a level of expertise showing up that has been validated by your network.
By your network, your community. Yeah, what I find rather interesting is I'm the only one to so far have tagged you with DevOps.
Oh, have you now?
I have. Interesting. In case you didn't know, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. And it's funny because I actually have been purposely not, because they actually prompt you to tag yourself too. I have not been tagging myself.
Oh, well, why not?
Because I would rather build up the reputation.
Well, here's the thing. When you look at your skills and expertise area,
Jace,
it shows your top whatever of what people have tagged for you. So what I have found is that when I look at you and your record, right now, when I look at your record, it says, does Michael have these skills or experience? It's talking about you, Michael, as opposed to me, Michael.
Yes.
Right? You, me, you. And so it says, so the ones that are up there are cloud computing, SaaS, software development, project management, and mobile devices. Or I could type in another area of expertise. You know, I could say Vorpal +3 Blade of Slaying expertise, which you
interesting
probably do have.
I just clicked accept from people who have tagged me, and now the game kicks in and is asking me to endorse other people.
Exactly. So let's talk about the game-related function of this. See, I knew we were going to get to our show no matter what. The cool thing about this is that it's easy.
Yes.
It's fast, and it's social. Because
it is.
You've been endorsed by your community, and therefore you're feeling social reciprocity of doing that back for your community as well, aren't you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, some of the ones that are coming up, I'm actually saying, no, I don't believe they have that skill. Ooh, pretty. I like a lot. Social reciprocity. I've been reciprocitized.
Well, maybe you need to be. Who knows?
Very cool.
So I think this is actually quite clever, because in other expertise, location expertise, identification kinds of systems, it is extremely onerous. It takes time. You're going through a large data set that is very regimented. And here you have a very basic folksonomy, which I think is a very intelligent thing for LinkedIn to do to start with. And as they build a picture from your social network as to what kinds of skills and capabilities and experiences that you have, over time, I think the folksonomy can become a stronger hierarchy that is a little bit more structured and help them mine the data where they need it to be. Plus, I think that the social analytics are getting to a point where folksonomy is just as effective as a rigid structural hierarchy of skill.
Yes.
You don't have to be, you don't have to have such a rigid hierarchy and say, oh, well, you know, this person is a project manager, that person is a program manager, that person is an enterprise program manager. You know, those are relatively the same skills, slightly different wording. But if you're looking for someone who knows how to handle a project, you're going to be able to search and find all of them.
Yep. Very cool. Now, this is really interesting. So they've been updating the site, and somehow they took one of my my activities, specifically the Triangle App Show founder work, threw that as my kind of headline. So I had to change it back to my day job. And they also allow you in the experience section to resequence things. You can just drag and drop now. Very cool. Very cool.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. Cause I noticed that before. I was like, oh, are we trying to say something?
Yeah. I had not purposely done that change, but it had. It did it for me. Very interesting. So, yeah, I think, you know, maybe this is our real game-related discussion in this episode, is how LinkedIn is using social reciprocity to game new data, and then using that to do targeted recruitment work.
Well, and advertising and, right? Because when you look at it, you know, the ads by LinkedIn members that are appearing here, too, are... Yep. Targeted, one would experience to your endorsement elements.
Absolutely. Very cool. Very cool. I like it.
We can't forget to talk about the stories, because the stories is something kind of got us here as well.
Yes. So this is actually kind of interesting. I saw a tweet this week that was retweeted by one of the authors of the game storming book, Dave Gray. Did I get that right? Yes,
you did.
And I looked at it, and it was an interesting tweet on stories about gaming for business. So I retweeted it and said, we ought to talk about that this week. Well, earlier today, when I finally had a chance to look at it, it was a Storify story of the video presentation of the ideas behind the book of game storming from 2010. So it was pretty old, but I started looking through Storify, and that's kind of cool.
I think so as well. I mean, what I like about it is it's a nice way to aggregate a series of data streams, whether it's Twitter feeds, individual tweets, people, etc., as part of a collective story. You can edit and comment based on it. And I think after our quick little experience last week or week before, what was it with what was it called?
Pane in the glass. That was it.
Well, whatever that particular app was, this actually seems to be a very easy, fluid way of building
glass board.
Okay, that was close.
Yeah,
a quick, easy way of adding more information into a collective story with different assets. And the thing that struck me after we started playing with this just a little bit was, wouldn't this be a really neat way then to create collectively an ebook?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The thing that I liked about it, it was really a... It reminded me of Paperly, in a way of building a common story around a set of online digital assets. And in this case, it becomes a curated definition of something that you want to remember. So I love the idea of collecting stuff over time in order to build out a larger book, right? And so I think it would be cool for us to try to, and we created a games@work_biz, just like our Twitter account, Storify account. And let's see if we can, over the next few episodes, create a story of all the links for each episode.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, so I just dropped in for today's podcast a little YouTube from GameStorming as an example of, okay, well, what is that? If you didn't want to go back and look or listen to the recording that we had with James McAnufo, another author of that particular book, you know, here's a video. It's like, man, this is super easy. I love this.
Very, very cool. Well, Phaedra, we miss you. I know you're consumed again this week, and we're going to get all three of us on a show, I swear.
It's the travel that gets you.
Yeah, so sometime soon that will actually happen. Unfortunately, it looks like I will not be available potentially next week. I'm trying to lock that down and make sure I am. So we'll have to confirm later on in the week, but it looks like I'm triple booked at that time.
You're challenged, huh?
I am challenged. I am mentally challenged today. I need more coffee. Matter of fact, I need that coffee concoction that you sent over from the bean.
Oh yeah, you know what? I should put that into the story here as well.
Couldn't you should. Do that? You could. You could edit the story, throw that in there, throw in a link to Triangle App Show and this cool stuff that we've got going on over there.
Yeah, there we go. Look at this. I could just now drag this in. So if I hit enter on that. And then I could have that little nice little coffee in there.
And you got the data visualizations link in there too, right?
I probably could.
I probably could quite quickly.
And data visualizations, you know, all kinds of stuff. All right. Well, I think we have a show.
I think we do too. And I hope you have a fun, relaxing weekend. I know there's lots of nothing going on, right?
Practically nothing.
Practically nothing.
Hey, well, do you have a saving throw today?
I do have a saving throw today. My saving throw today is all about the iPad Mini, which, to be honest, I have no desire to have. I looked at it. I kind of got excited for about 30 seconds. Then I went, hey, I gave up my iPad 2 a while back. Why do I want to go back to those same specs?
Interesting.
And I have my savings throw will actually be a link to a quick review of it. How about yourself? How are you going to, are you going to roll a 20?
Yeah. So my roll of 20 is a Halloween costume idea, which I'm going to put into the environment here as well. This is something that I learned about from The Verge, on The Verge.
And I'll, you're on The Verge here of learning about it?
No. I learned it from The Verge. So it's an Arduino powered electronic demon costume. So, you know, it's a face that's powered by Arduino chips that you could make yourself. And if you had some time and a couple of chips to program, that would be ultra fun.
That is awesome.
Isn't that cool?
That is awesome. I like it. Matter of fact, I like Digital Devil's paraphrasing of my comment. So.
There you go. All right. Well, I'm glad we had a good conversation.
I'm so glad we've had this time together.
Where we are. Games.
Games. Okay, guys, we will talk to you soon, and keep sending us tweets and posts and emails, etc., on our Facebook page, on our website at gamesatwork.biz, on our Google Plus page. Join us on Storify at games@work_biz, and we want your feedback. So we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and we'd like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.